All righty. Well, today is Tuesday, June 12th, 2018, and we are talking about a new script. So what shall we do for an opening? I'm thinking we'll pull something random out of my new material.
Sounds good.
Yeah. All right. This is called Beloved. I love loving me. I love valuing and appreciating me. I love delighting in and cherishing me. I love showing myself that I matter deeply. I love hearing me, seeing me, understanding me. I love attending to me. I love devoting time to me. I love noticing and affirming me. I love championing me. I love loving the entire universe that is me. I love loving the entire universe as me. I love loving me. I don't actually remember writing that.
That's an amazing one.
Thank you. It was a little challenging to read, actually. Really? Do I love all this stuff? Wow, okay.
Wow, that's pretty great.
Yeah.
So in terms of logistics that just happened, it looks like the car's done, and so Gina's taking care of that, and I may, like, hop in the car with her, and we'll go to a store or something like that, or she offered to come back and get me. What do you think?
You tell me what's going to work for you. I'm flexible.
Let's see. Gina's a little heavy at the moment, but I don't think we're far from our next destination. I'll tell her that we'll go there, and then I'll just kind of wait for her as she goes in and browses.
Okay.
Okay.
So do you want to continue the call? Do you want to call back when you're at the next place? I'm not quite understanding the logistics.
If it's a possibility to call back, that might be even better.
Yeah.
But I want to be, you know, sensitive to, you know, the time frame that you've set up for this.
Yeah, so we do definitely need to stay within that. So given that, would you rather do what we can do while you're in transit and stay connected now? Okay.
I think so.
Okay. So I know you being a deliberative, you probably did not whip out a whole script already. Would that be accurate?
That would be accurate.
Okay. Did you think about it? Have you had ideas on what would be fun for you? Where are you with the whole idea of?
It's funny because, like, I got up and I journaled this morning, and it felt a lot like a script that was kind of emerging. And so that was pretty cool to realize that as I was reading the assignment. and then I looked at your script, and it was interesting how many details, and I liked your details and bullet points and stuff like that that you'd put in. And I thought, oh, I wonder if I want a script like that one. And I don't even know if my script would look the same. But,
yeah.
You know, it's this whole new script thing is something that's so, it's been so much what I've been working on the past year or two. And I just have so many different poems and scrawls and journalings that fit. I just haven't necessarily organized it all down.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Does it feel like it's becoming a good time to organize it down? Like, has this come at the perfect time, or does it feel like it's still a little premature? Does it feel like it's still percolating?
It feels like it's still percolating. And also, it's almost like, you know, pieces can be written down. You know, there's lots of things that, like, that you almost expect from me when I, on these calls, that, you know, I'm going to talk about ecstasy at some point, and I'm going to talk about, you know, the experience of living probably, and that in kind of a sensual, vibrant sort of way. And today I was realizing how important it is, like how one of my big pitfalls is trying to mold myself into the expectations of others, either real or imagined.
And then the reason you're bringing that up is because that would be sort of the counterbalance or opposite of your own script for you?
Right. It's like the script is like how important it is for me to not do that, how heavy it can be for me, and how much freedom I don't feel, and how my body just kind of sinks down. And so, like, the script is, it's interesting because, you know, in my manifestation map that I did with Didi, I move in terms of what I don't want. You know, it's like I eliminate. And
okay.
So it's an interesting way to view the world, because it's like, oh, yes, I don't want that. But so I could say what I do want is a sense of freedom and autonomy, and nobody tells me what to do, and compassion in that, and understanding and bravery and courage. And that courage to live a life that feels ecstatic and connected and full of communion and open and friendly and fun and laughing and all of that stuff. So there you go. I just wrote my script.
And guess what? We actually have a transcript. So
yes,
when you hear the recording, you can just write it down.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, I didn't think until you started listing all the things you wanted for manifesting it, that one that is going toward what you want or going away from what you don't want. Do you think that changes the nature of how you write your script?
I think it makes it an interesting percolation. So, you know, as someone who does the elimination thing, but I still want to write like a positive sounding script, it's almost like I have to like eliminate and then rewrite like I just did. Like, oh, I don't want this, but I do want, you know, the way that all of these other things feel. And I have to realize what I don't want in order to write the things that I do. That's not always true, but in that case.
Gotcha. So the starting with the manifesting thing of don't want, it's a place you can go pretty easily and quickly, but you wouldn't want a script written that way. So once you've gotten clear on what you don't want, it helps you then write a script about what you do want.
Right. And to be clear, it's not that I can necessarily get to what I don't want easily and quickly. That's part of the percolation process, too.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Yeah. But that may be the first place that I go to that starts to give me the clarity.
Yes. Yes. That's so funny. As an activator, I equate those as the same starting place, and easily and quickly all seem the same to me. And then when I think through a deliberative lens, I'm like, well, that's ridiculous. Of course that's not the same. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Well, it's interesting. One of the interesting things, I'm moving now and I'm getting in the car, so sounds are going to change and stuff like that.
Thank you.
I mean, the interesting thing about the place that I'm in my life is that I'd sort of like to have quicker deliberations.
Sure.
You know, like, you know, in some cases I feel the idea of, oh, yeah, I can make decisions like an activator can sometimes. But wait, I think I'll pause and look at the clouds first and think about it again.
Yeah, so that's not activator, just to be clear.
Yeah, I know. That's, but, you know, it's like I feel like the motivation of, oh, let's do this right now. And sometimes I can move to that, like, with some spontaneity. And if the thought process clicks in, and maybe the language for that is deliberative, if that kicks in, then I'm just like, oh, but wait, let's just think about it for a minute. And a minute usually turns into a day or a week or a month for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there more?
No, not in that part.
Okay. Is there another part?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, I may have lost track of the question at the beginning, but, you know.
Yeah,
there was
no worries.
One. Yeah.
So, I noticed I had written, well, I had re-updated mine just about a year ago, the end of June last year, and literally not looked at it since then. It was when I was first putting together my idea for all of the curriculum for this. And it's hilarious to me that such a powerful thing I set aside. And I hadn't reread it before I posted it for you guys, but I told you that I would reread it and see what I wanted to update. And that was amazingly enlightening, because I did not realize that a year ago I was in a very, very similar place to where I am right now. I changed almost nothing. I changed a few what would be considered not typos, but slight grammatical things that I wanted different. And I added in Gary's name where I before had husband or whatever. And that was about it. And like part of me felt really happy and pleased and settled that I wrote this a year ago, never looked at it, and this is still exactly what I want to say today. And another part of me felt really sad, like, wow, would my life be richer and deeper if I paid attention to it for the year? You know, and who knows? I maybe, maybe not.
Did you have a sense of that you'd manifested some of those things?
Well, you know, it's interesting because in the last year I've been so humbled by everything I've gone through that I've kind of moved away from the idea of I'm going to say these affirmations until they're true or until they're manifested, you know? And yet, some of this is written that way. And so part of what I manifested was Gary's name gets to go in here, right? That was not
right.
true before. But other things like, I just randomly focused on one of the statements. Abundance is her natural state. She is abundance. She recognizes abundance everywhere. And it's very odd to be going through bankruptcy and feel abundant, and I actually do. Sometimes I'll have a freak out about, oh my God, there's not enough dollars in the bank. But I feel so supported. I feel like when I do look at my bank balance, it's usually higher than I thought it would be, which is odd, again, especially in this circumstance. And so did I manifest this? I guess so. But also, it's available in any moment if I allow it to be available. Does that make sense?
It does. When I was reading your statements, they seemed like both manifestation statements, but and with a different, like you could use that word, but they feel different in the sense that they are also ever-present kind of statements.
Yes. Yeah. If I said there's $1.2 million in my bank account, I'd have to say to you, no, Ephraim, I have not manifested that.
Right.
But how do I know 1.2 million is the right number, right? So I've moved away from that in some ways. You know, I do have a statement, and income and net worth is consistently increasing. And that's not true at the moment. I have not manifested that. But, you know, in a particular day, I might have manifested it somewhat, and then other days not, but overall not. And so it's still important that that be true, which is very different than Anne loves witnessing and experiencing the shifts clients make. That happens every day, thankfully. Uh-huh. And this script just helps me remember that's one of my greatest joys. So if I get overly focused on something that isn't happening, here's something that happens every day. How great is that?
So is that why you have that sense of sadness that you hadn't visited it more in the past year?
Yes. Yes.
You've just been reminded?
Yes.
Tell me more. There's more there.
Yes. It starts with Anne embraces and expresses the mysticism that chose her. When I originally wrote this, which I believe was in, I'm looking now because I wrote it at the bottom. I originally wrote this on the 10th of September, 2016. Instead of mysticism, there was magic. And I came to realize that magic was not a particularly healthy word for me, that it was too much about it was too much like shiny red cars and certain money in the bank. And I chose a new word, which was mysticism. And that just feels much more like who I truly am.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't allow much time for that to soak in. You know, my wonderful friend Susie gave me a testimonial for my book that called me one part poetess, one part priestess, one part business coach. That's mm-hmm. probably my favorite description of me ever. And I've only owned a third of that. And how ironic that I own business coach and now I'm going through my own bankruptcy, but I haven't owned the poetess and the priestess as much. So when you say there's more there, that's what that's about.
A sense of owning those two other parts.
In the very broadest sense, which both of those parts, the poetess and the priestess, that's the mysticism.
Yes.
And on a good day, there's mysticism in business coaching.
Right. As
what were you
going to
say? Exactly.
Yeah.
So for whatever reason, I didn't look at it for a year. And, you know, the sadness, I can let go of that because here I am now. And this is pretty powerful. Like it, I'm a little stunned that randomly picking our opening for today was written so much like this and I don't remember writing it.
I know, it was such a great opening.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And such a great opening for this particular conversation because we, each of us, decides who we are with our thoughts. And we mostly do that without thinking about it. So, you know, are you familiar with that guy, Mike Dooley, thoughts become things?
Yes.
Yes. Well, he has some idea that, you know, there's lots of thoughts, you might as well choose the good ones.
Yeah.
That's ridiculously obvious, but, you know, most people don't, and I'm just as guilty of it as anybody else. So, yeah, why not choose the good ones?
It's true, and, you know, as two people who have struggled with anxiety the way that we have, we also know that that is not always as easy said than done.
Mm-mm. Oh, thank you for bringing up the anxiety. I have a new phrase to share with you that might be helpful. It's in this regard, and it's just been blowing my mind. I'm trying to remember where I wrote it down. I'm going to find it. Yeah, here it is. It starts with the greatest gift you can give another, and I firmly believe when you hear what follows, it's also the greatest gift you can give yourself. So the greatest gift you can give another or yourself is to be the one who has rescinded the need to insist on the insanity of fear. I normally like things that have less words, but
yeah.
Somehow all of those words are important. You know, it would be easy to just say love instead of fear.
Right.
But somehow each word reminds me of something. Rescind tells me I have a choice, and now I need to, like, take back something that I've been doing wantonly. The need is great because it impresses upon me that this is really important. The need to insist, and it must be insisting. So I'm rescinding mm-hmm. the need to insist on, I could just say fear, to insist on fear, but throwing in insanity reminds like the cost of fear.
Yes.
One lives in a very insane world if one is in fear. And I don't, you know, I only stumbled across this last night, so I haven't had a lot of time to sit with it. But it seems like so far it's helped me realize that anxiety actually does come from what I'm thinking about. And if I'm recognizing I don't want to be in the insanity of fear, maybe sometimes I can shift it. Maybe sometimes I can't. And mm-hmm. then that's okay too. But that just really stuck out for me.
I agree. I agree that all of the words need to be there too. And insanity, you know, there's so many different kinds of insanity, and there's the one that everybody is so fond of quoting that it is doing the same thing in the same way over and over, expecting a different result, which feels yeah. like, you know, the sane version, the sane person's version of insanity, but it kind of draws attention to, you know, the types of thoughts that we've been talking about, which I forget what they are, but, you know, the thoughts that are the repetition that...
Oh, regurgitated.
Not... Yes, regurgitated.
Yes, yes.
Insanity is just regurgitated thoughts, and so is fear.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. Yeah.
It's so interesting because this morning I was like on the brink of what felt like one of the big ones. And I was like, I'm just going to go back to sleep instead. And I did. And I woke up and got out my notebook and wrote one of my more... Have I told you about future writing?
No.
So it's you know that style of writing where you're like you... you write about where you want to be in 3 months or 5 years or whatever it is, blah, 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 that sort of thing.
Sure.
That kind of exercise. Well, this is that kind mm-hmm. of exercise, only I've discovered that it feels different for me. And I think the difference is, like, you write, it's once again, you write as if you were already there. And it can be at some undetermined point in the future, or it can be in as little time as an hour in the future, or
okay.
a couple of minutes or whatever. And so mm-hmm. I've been working with this practice, and one of the things that makes it so vivid for me is that is it's very sensate, as in, like, often I will imagine where I am in the world as I'm writing. So, like, for example, you could be writing about it and you would see yourself in that cottage in Santa Fe and writing about the things that you accomplished in the past year or the past 10 years or whatever it is. And so I'm sitting there future writing like a few months ahead and just kind of feeling, you know, having moved past many of the emotional dilemmas that I'm in and stuff like that. And it was interesting to feel so much potential anxiety in the morning and then to be able to wake up and write something that felt akin to what my new script might be.
Wow. Would you like to share
yeah.
any of it?
Sure. What a startling few months. I have blossomed like a glorious cactus flower with a bloom that lasts far longer than a day. I am the tree that grew from the tiny white seed. I am unencumbered by the expectations of others. I am free and full and sexually fulfilled. I am ecstatic and orgasmic and vibrating with life. My followers continue to grow every day. They come from my poetry for inspiration, for the shiver of ecstasy and darkness and light. They come for the hope and the pain that waits in their soul. They come to find it, feed it, appreciate all of themselves, and know that the pain is not enough to give up and kill themselves. I've been there. It feels good to be making money. It feels good to be putting my learning to use, the thousands that I've invested. turning into thousands more. It feels good to be sustaining myself and to have the future look bright with growth and hope and light. It really was so easy once I finally focused, and now in just a few short months, I have money flowing in on top of the successful VRBO money. That's getting more specific. And then Gina and I are so strong. We are cake. We created a creative cake that has us in powerful places, together and separate. I still don't know what we will be and where we will go, but the power struggle of control has all but disappeared. That's what happens with cake. Desires come and clash or not, and we remain ourselves, fluidly, compassionately, uncompromised, glowing, radiant beings embodying our fullness, being 100% us, and frosting ourselves with people, places, experiences, and wonders of living that are truly astounding. And then I have like a couple pages more. It was, now I prove myself to me. I am responsible for me. I do things for me because that is what I need, what my soul needs. Purpose may or may not be a myth, or maybe it is always the same. Purpose is to be you, be me, the spark I make in the world, small or large. I am the Grand Canyon. And whenever I try to mold myself to someone else's expectations, the heaviness comes, the cage, the stifling. Come into my world and take me as I am or not. I don't say that without compassion and love for you. I say it with respect and compassion and adoration for you, and most importantly for me. I am the one that truly has to live with myself. I am the one living my life, and I can choose to make love with it and embrace it, or I can resist it and crush myself beneath the weight. I am the winter beast, and I relish the darkness. I am the golden wild god with my footprints of light, splash, splash, splashing in the gold of my words, the fountain of life and poetry, of dark and light, of sensual reveling in existence. Oh, this glorious revel, I seduce you from my bed of stars. They shift and dance with my movement, folding like a silken blanket, the web of existence. Feeling this power is everything. This greatness of what I am is the fuel that helps me run and dance and shout with joy. It is the courage to ship and publish and risk. It is the solidity to be without the modulation of so many other views. I don't live for your expectations and desires. I live for mine.
I heard about 14 poems in there.
I know. No shit. I was thinking that. I was like, oh my gosh, I need to take pieces of this and write a whole chapbook.
Yeah. It's so funny. As you were reading that, I thought of the phrase of future writing and the idea of a script, both of which seem so cold and dry and clinical, and I think there needs to be a new name. I don't know that that's the most important thing, but it just occurred to me, like, the richness of this being your compass, and also some of it's universal. And I didn't really look at mine for that. You know, I just wrote mine and paid attention to it for me. But, oh man, to have these thoughts as dominant thoughts, you know, have them become the regurgitated thoughts.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Wouldn't it? I have pretty much gone to completely listening to Christian music on the radio, not when I'm at home and have my own music. You know, I have some Christian music, some lots of Kundalini music, lots of other mainstream KBCO music, whatever. But one of the things I really love about listening to Christian music over and over and over again is phrases get stuck in my head The one for the last few days has been Fear, He Is a Liar. And that's the name of a song. They're playing a lot on the radio right now. And when I first heard it, I thought it was a dumb song. And now I'm thinking it was like one of the smartest songs ever written. Because, you know, when I'm sitting in a place of fear, it's like, oh, yeah, but Fear, He Is a Liar. And, you know, it doesn't always move me, but it does sometimes. And I would rather have that in my head than a lot of other of the regurgitated thoughts that are really not helpful, always.
Yeah.
So, up-leveling my regurgitated thinking. That could be the name of a book.
Oh, it totally could be.
Right?
Yeah.
So, did you realize when you actually made the choice to get out of bed and write that you would be writing something with so much potency?
I didn't. And it's funny, like at the end of it, I just wrote, oh my gosh, I'm just so grateful that this happened.
Right? Seriously.
You know, it's like I felt like it was done. It's like, oh yeah, I finally connected with that again.
Yeah, and it's written down.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're a prolific writer, so if it wasn't written down, you could write something similar or the next version tomorrow.
You know, I know that I've written various versions of something like that felt that potent, and they're the sort of writing sort of like, you know, what we opened with, where you go back and it's like, oh my gosh, I'd forgotten I'd written that. That's amazing. You know? Like,
yeah.
I don't know if I could write something like that again from that particular energy. It was just, I'm so glad that I had my pen in my hand and trusted it.
Yeah. Good point. Because since I don't remember writing this, I don't know when I wrote it. I don't know what was going on then. I imagine if I sat down to write the new version of this, it might not have as much potency because it would be trying to mimic it or extend it or whatever. So you're right. Different energies begat completely different things. Well, I'm grateful that even though I would rather call it something other than a script, and maybe that will come to me, I'm grateful that I put it out there anyway. That it didn't have to have the perfect name to be useful. And you did the assignment without even realizing you had or you were gonna. That's to me one of the greatest powers of this kind of writing, that we set something in motion.
I know,
and
it feels like motion.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm just still really grateful. Like, you're grateful that you got up and that came through. I'm grateful that I did this a year ago. Part of me wishes I'd, you know, stayed closer to it, but part of me is like, wow, what a wonderful gift I gave myself last week when I read this and shared it with you guys. And now today when I updated it and it required almost no updating, it's like that's pretty telling and pretty wonderful, and take the gift of it, not the problematic part that I forgot about it for a year because I didn't entirely. You know, when you say, did I manifest this, I would have changed a lot if it wasn't deeply my desire. Like, I know that if I'd written this a few years ago, it would have had much more specifics about the nature of the house, the shiny red car, the number of dollars, all of that. And to me, that isn't what this is about anymore.
You know, I agree. It's like I'm relating this to both of us. Like you and I, we want to manifest different things. And yes, it would be nice to have money in the bank account, and that's a piece of it, but it really is about how we feel on a
yes.
daily basis. And you know, yes. what our common regurgitated thoughts are, you know, if those are ecstatic, then who cares?
Right.
You know, my word, ecstatic. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Mine would be a different word, but the point is the same. Like my huge goal, if you will, right now is to be in peace and love regardless of what's happening. And I've actually had some pretty profound experiences with it lately through some pretty tough stuff. I remained peaceful and loving. I'm like, wow, yes, no kidding. That is what I want. Because then it's great to drive the shiny car. It's great to see the money in the bank. But if I'm not driving the shiny red car, or if there isn't money in the bank, I'm still peaceful and loving.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. That's the miracle. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that sounds like a good place to close. Do you want to read part of yours in closing? Do you want me to reread what I read for the opening?
Let's reread the opening.
Okay. And do you want this recording to just be for you and me?
What do you think?
I don't feel like it needs to be, but I'm sensitive to you being the only participant in addition to me, the holder of space. So, you know, I'm prepared to share whatever I bring to it on the recording, right? And so,
you know,
I think
I'm okay with it going on. I don't know if I said anything that feels, I mean, it all felt very personal, but I don't know if I said anything that I wouldn't say.
Okay, cool.
If I change my mind, I'll ask you to take it down.
Yes, there you go. Okay, fair enough. All right.
Great.
So, in closing, we come full circle back to the beloved. I love loving me. I love valuing and appreciating me. I love delighting in and cherishing me. I love showing myself I matter deeply. I love hearing me, seeing me, understanding me. I love attending to me. I love devoting time to me. I love noticing and affirming me. I love championing me. I love loving the entire universe that is me. I love loving the entire universe as me. I love loving me. And thank you, Ephraim, for having us do this again. I still don't know when I wrote it, but I realize how it came through was these things are all things that I've wished I had more of from other people in the past.
Mm.
And that's where they came from. You know, when I was thinking I didn't know that I mattered to people deeply, when I was thinking people weren't hearing me, seeing me, understanding me, this came out of, wait a minute, I've got a way that can happen, and it's foolproof, you know?
Yeah.
It's sitting right here, me.
So good.
Wow, that's pretty poignant. I just got that in the second reading, not in the first.
Mm. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. All right. Well, same time next week then.
All right.
All right. It was great spending this time with you.
Yeah, it was great. Have a good day.
You too. Bye for now.
Bye.